We're back here on our Wyota Steakhouse Coaches Show here on KSOM as we get ready for tonight's matchup between Audubon and Montezuma. Talking now with Wheeler's head football coach, Sean Burks. And, Coach, a nice win in the first round for you and your team, beating Lennox 58-20. How do you feel about your football team coming into this matchup against the Braves?
Yeah, we like where we're at. You know, to make the round of 16 is nothing to look at. You know, we also understand that we're pretty healthy at this point in the year, and we're playing pretty well. But once again, everybody's one day away from being done. So we're not taking that for granted, but we like where we're at so far.
How has Aiden Kjærgaard kind of evolved at quarterback throughout this year?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, we weren't sure what exactly we'd have there. Anytime you've got a kid that is coming in as a sophomore, you're never quite sure. But also because we had Carson coming in, returning starter. So we were heading into the season. We knew we'd need Aiden at DB. We knew he'd be a quality competition and depth at quarterback. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to play him at JV because we wanted to keep him healthy on Fridays. And then just the way the situation's kind of rolled out with Carson getting dinged up in the scrimmage, you know, Aiden took the reins and never really looked back. And Carson has handled that really, really well as well. You know, Carson's been dinged up multiple times last year and this year, just can't seem to quite stay healthy. And it's always kind of major and freak issues. So it's not like it's him nursing something a little bit longer than he needs to. He's had, you know, major shoulder, major elbow, major ankle type things where, you know, we're trying to get him healthy and he's getting there. So, anytime we get Carson back, we feel even better about Aiden because it gives us quality depth there. But Aiden's done such a good job of taking over. For his situation, you know, it kind of eased in early in the year, rotated with Carson. And then as Carson, you know, battled some injuries, it was more his full time. And Aiden's done a great job. You know, I kind of forget he's a sophomore now just because he's done such a good job this year for us.
On defense, I wanted to ask you about Isaac Sorensen. I mean, it's showing on the tackle chart, he has 22 tackles, but I don't think that does him justice because a lot of times he'll just stand up his guy and force backs to go a different way. You just don't want to run at this kid. And not only is he big, but how well do you think he can move? Because I think for a big man, he moves exceptionally well. And again, the stats, I'm sure you probably agree that it doesn't do him justice.
No, yeah, most nose guards don't get a ton of tackles, and Isaac's no different. But I thought, well, probably his best film of his career was probably last week against Lennox. There's a clip of him walking the center back like 8 yards, and I'm not exaggerating. It was the center is on skates, and Isaac is just walking him backwards. And so when you've got that kind of pocket push, it's tough. And then gap sound against the run defense, same thing. You know, he's sitting in that A gap. And, you know, teams try to bounce it outside, and then we've got our corner, either Aiden or Jorgen, depending on the side, you know, turning it back in. And then you've got a defensive end and a linebacker and a safety sitting in the next gaps. And we were just so gap sound. And it starts in the middle and works its way to the edge and everyone in between. But I'm glad you brought Isaac up. Just an unheralded kid that works exceptionally hard and does a lot of the dirty work. He's, you know, against Xavier HK, they had a smaller center and they just tried to cut him all night. You know, when you're constantly have someone diving at your ankles and knees and taking on double teams and teams are running away from you. And a guy his size, and he's got to try to run laterally and hope someone cuts back sometimes if he's going to get a tackle. But, you know, Isaac does everything we've needed, and he's really that center of that defense that, you know, he locks down an A gap, and then, you know, at the second level, Austin Christensen locking on the other A gap, and teams really have to try to get to the edge. And then when you get laterally, it allows us to really swarm to the ball.
And I think he had more views for his homecoming interview than anybody else. So there you go too. So he's got some popularity to him. So, and people like him, I guess. He's just a tough football player, no doubt about it. What about Montezuma? What do you see from the Braves that you need to focus on the most?
I think the quarterback position, it's easy to say, and it's pretty common in 8-man football, but the Bolton kid does a lot, both on script and off script. You can tell he's a gamer, you know, not very big, but plays a lot bigger than that. And then on defense, he's their leading interceptor as well at the back end. He's kind of an Aaron Olsen type where he's really quick and athletic, can get to the edge. He can, you know, if your defensive end thinks he's contained, he's got other plans. He's really good at scrambling to buy time to throw it, but he's also willing to just tuck it and run it. He's a true dual threat kid at 5'8", 5'9", whatever he's listed at. Not very big, but he can make all the throws, and he can buy time with his legs. We have to make sure we get to him, we rally to him. We don't allow him to buy extra time, because as DBs, you don't want to be covering and then wondering if you have to come up and help in a scramble. And then, he's really good about directing his receivers in that scramble drill. So to us, that's the biggest thing. It starts with him. And then the guys up front have to take care of the run game with the running back. If you're at the defensive end that they're reading, you've got the quarterback. If you're at the defensive end that they're running away from or handing it off to, you've got to shut down the running gap. Carter and Austin at the linebacker position have to know if they're in coverage and or what their run gap fills are. It's assignment football on that side of the ball. And on the other side of the ball, I think it's a matter of trying to figure out what they're going to get in. They've shown some different looks. But our kids have handled that really well throughout the year, of seeing how teams are doing things and then making adjustments. On the edge, it's Austin and Brody figuring out who's taking who at the defensive end and the linebacker, if we're running behind them, and if we're not running behind them, are we pulling one of them? Just getting that communicated down the line, so that the center, the guards, the tight ends, the wings, the backfield are all on the same page to get into the right look, because they may present some different looks. So we have to make sure we understand what we're seeing.
Brooks Stockman is that running back, not quite 1,000 yards rushing, but they use him a lot in the passing game. So how do you try to match up with a kid like that?
Yeah. They like the wheel, the wheel action out of the backfield, that they try to get you flooding away from him and then leak him out, kind of a leak wheel, or a rail route, so to speak. We were well aware of it. We've seen it a lot on film. The top two looks we're looking at on their passing game are variations of running back wheel, whether they flood wheel or they mesh wheel. There's different concepts. So it's going to be on our secondary to make sure that they understand where they're at in zone coverage and if they're going to trade somebody off, because they're one of the few teams that does release all four guys into routes, which leaves you a little susceptible to pass rush. So we're hoping our D-line can get there. But if not, if your D-line doesn't get there and they've got all four guys in routes with their crossing and their levels, we have to make sure we've got that taken care of, because it means everybody's dropping in coverage and everybody has to have a job.
And how do you feel like they match up front with you? I mean, we've known about your advantages there with size, with athleticism. How do you think they are in terms of what they can do on the offense and the defensive lines against your guys?
Yeah, they pull the guards when they want to get to the edge. Their guards are moving pretty well. They're not going to just line up and get under center and run dive and lead at you like Lennox did. They're going to be in the gun, and they're going to try to get to the perimeter. The Stockman kid runs. He's a quick runner. The guards run really well. So if they can get to the edge, the little jet sweep action, or just hand the ball off and run kind of that same single puller, trying to get all the way to the edge. Remsen St. Mary's has done it really well for years, and we've seen that. So that's kind of our comp for that. But then the other thing they'll do is they'll rather than block you, they'll read you. And if you make the wrong read, the quarterback pulls it and they're off to the races there. And then the running back, when they run their zone action, if they do want to run it inside, they do a good job of doubling and climbing with their linemen. And then they read the defensive end. And if your linebackers, are over pursuing and your DN runs upfield, there's usually a cutback lane there. So we have to make sure we're gap sound and we're doing our jobs, and they put pressure on you all over the place.
And just what do you make of the opportunity? Could be your last home game of the season. If you win and Iowa Valley wins, I presume you'd have to go there. And after that, it's the Dome. I guess it's just another step to achieve your ultimate goal.
Yeah, we talked to the kids that, they've earned the right to have one last of everything a week ago. During the regular season, they earned the right to have a home playoff game with being the district champ. And then with a victory last week, and we earned another chance to be at home. And so you get a little bit of closure. You go into this week understanding it really is senior night, Friday night. Our kids know that, our seniors know that it's the last time they're going to play a game on this field. And when it's not the regular season and it's playoffs, it makes that a little bit different vibe, because they also know that if they take care of business, they're not done yet. But it's tough, majority of seasons. I was fortunate to be able to do one of them back in 2019 when we got to the title game. It's hard to get closure in sports. You always assume and you always hope and you always think there might be another week, there might be another game, whatever. And no one ever says, hey, Friday's going to be our last game, unless you're in the state title game. So our kids understand what's at stake, and our kids have set out high goals. And we understand how talented Montezuma is, and we're up for the challenge because, you know, every week you should be playing someone that's better than the previous week when you get to this stature. And I thought the association did a great job of using their rankings and getting the right pods in play. There's some really good teams still out there. You look across the board, you know, Fremont Mills, Bedford is going to be outstanding. You know, Woodbine's hosting a district champ in Southeast Warren. You go Easton Valley is going to Gladbrook with a sneaky good game. There's lots of them across the state right now. And Audubon, Montezuma, you know, preseason Montezuma is a top five, top 10 team. And we see that why they were ranked that high. And we understand that it's a tough game this round, but we've earned that opportunity and we're up for the challenge.
Coach, really appreciate your time and best of luck here tonight against Montezuma. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sean Burks, head coach for the Audubon Wheelers, joining us here on our Wyota Steakhouse Coaches Show on KSOM.